When we last left our heroes, they were locked into a terribly important discussion. Let's drop in on them again as they plot the future. Now, from the Top Dog's Kennel in beautiful downtown Burbank, it's the Terrence and Philip Show.
Once again, thanks so much, Gary. Welcome to the Terrence and Philip Show. I'm Terrence Curran.
And I'm Philip Hodges.
And today we're going to talk about a news article that came out last week where CNN has laid off a bunch of people. And my response on the Avid list to it was, well, are we going to be outsourced first or automated out of existence?
Well, I vote for automated out of existence because that's my business. Yeah, and I guess at this point I feel like, well, one hand I feel like I'm betraying people. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, this is an inevitable trend. So somebody is going to have to create it because the pressure on time is there, the pressure on getting a result is there, and hopefully somebody will still care about the quality and keep the high end there.
I think so.
I hope so. I'm, you know, maybe not as optimistic about that as you are, but
they haven't come up with a computer program to write a novel yet.
No, that's true.
So
that's
true. There's still parts of
the mental process
that
there are computer software that writes articles about facts in human voice.
It's like that doesn't surprise me, but it's not the same thing as creating a novel.
Anything we say about this is always going to be yet.
Yeah. Well, so you can definitely automate, you know, news stories or a lot of what passes for filling the gap between commercials on television these days.
Yeah.
But are you going to come out with, you know, a being there or something like that? You know,
I hope not.
You know,
there's a part of me that really hopes not, and I see that what we're doing with automation in pre-production or pre-post is really creating something that can then be passed to somebody who can polish it.
Mm-hmm.
Because anything that First Cuts does, for example, that's our software that takes the log notes and then turns them into a very rough first string out, not a first cut ready for the network cut. This is just a first string out.
Mm-hmm.
And they lack soul, they lack tightness, they lack concise presentation. They're fine, they're technically competent, they're mm-hmm. better than half of what I see on YouTube.
Right.
But are they finished product? No. Are they something that a competent, skilled editor can take and very quickly turn into something that does have their level of polish? Yes. It's very, very fast to work with something. Every editor I know can cut something that's already cut and recut it to suit themselves as opposed to the empty timeline, which is particularly a problem for documentary, less so for narrative.
Well, but this also brings us back to what we were discussing in the last show, which is that if you don't actually know all the material, if you haven't seen all the material, what are you not seeing that, you know, could have been different? So, yeah, it is definitely for time and getting something out, yes. But if you wanted to – if you were, say, cutting a documentary and you wanted it to be totally yours and you wanted to make sure you could make it the best you could be, then it's not as good because you want to see all the material anyways.
Yeah.
Then you know, and form your own story.
Then the IRS is probably going to say you're not doing this professionally. It's only a hobby.
Yeah. Well, that's definitely a possibility.
That particular ruling is still standing. So on that one case, that's troublesome because it could be that every documentary that doesn't make a profit is ruled as a hobby and therefore is not deductible.
Yeah, that would be tough.
That would be a very nasty blow for the documentary industry.
Yeah.
But the other angle to this, and one we've talked about too, is that it's becoming easier and easier to outsource and edit remotely. And we've seen, you know, Avid have a technology they haven't released yet that they've previewed a couple of times mm-hmm. for editing remotely. Wii Video is now integrated with YouTube, so you can
edit your
YouTube video. They've cloud-based editing for commercial use. I still worry about getting the media into the cloud.
Yeah. Yeah, no, there's still bandwidth issues.
Yes, there certainly is.
And security issues.
Yeah, they have to be dealt with.
Yeah.
But the security issues are more, again, an issue for a niche within the market than something that affects everybody in the market. Because, once again, I'd like to point out that film and television is not the entire editing market.
No, exactly. I mean, if you're, you know, let's say you're a wedding videographer in, you know, Wyoming.
Mm.
If you shoot all the stuff and you could upload it and somebody in China cranks out the wedding video for you and charges you, you know, $30, then all of a sudden, you know, you've got a business model.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, somebody got a logo done for this project. We're working on the Solar Odyssey project. It was an outsourced $50 logo.
Yes.
It's not half decent. I mean, it's...
You know what? I did a show recently. I won't mention names. A cable show. And the company did the... They had the open, the full animated open, you know, 30-second, all kinds of stuff laying around, all that. They outsourced that to a company in Italy or France. I can't remember. And that was $2,000 for the full 30-second, fully animated open. And then they went on to one of these crowdsourcing-type sites,
yep.
And they got an animated logo for their company for... They paid $75. They had some people bidding
as low as
$45, you know. But they said, well, we went with the $75 one because, you know, we wanted more quality. I'm like, oh, my God.
And they just produced... 7 or 8 variations.
Yeah.
You know, which one do you like best, right? Yeah, that one, but more of this. And
yeah.
And then in different formats. And, hey, it's... at one level, I can't knock it. If I'm a producer, I want that.
Yeah, you want cheap.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. But I have friends who do that work.
Yes.
who live here and need to eat and feed their families.
Yeah.
And,
no,
and,
I, and, absolutely. And what can you... You know, the value added here is, you know, what you, the... Okay, I'll play the... Because I've been having this argument for years. You know. I've been saying for years we're going to get outsourced. And, you know, the argument that people always come back with is, oh, they can't do it in other places because, you know, A, there's no direct interaction. Well, there's not direct interaction for most of editing now anyways. You know, people upload a QuickTime to FTP and the director, producer, whoever the person is who cares, sees it somewhere else entirely and gives notes on it. So that's not an issue anymore. And the other part is, you know, they talk about, well, you know, other people don't have the sensitivity or the cultural awareness or whatever, that's not hard to teach. I mean, you know, there are some of those helplines you call, and you can't tell whether those people are actually out of country. You know, they teach them Southern accents, Southern American accents in China so that they sound like they're from America, et cetera, United States. So they're, you know, the cultural part, I mean, look at the largest filmmaking community on the planet
is in Bollywood.
Yeah, it ain't here.
And the second largest is in Nigeria.
Wow. I didn't know that. Nigeria
where piracy is completely rampant.
So who do they produce for in Nigeria?
Nigerians.
That they have that big of a film market?
Apparently.
Wow.
Yeah, it kind of shocked me as well. But really it's no different. I have a friend who lives in Florida. I mean, Rob's been doing work for clients that he hasn't ever met for years.
Right.
I mean, never met them. I mean, his client is somebody whose ultimate client is somebody else.
Right, okay.
And hasn't met either of those people, I believe, over the years. I mean, he's
two steps down already.
He's already remote, you know.
Yeah.
It's a good story, and I hope Steve and Rob don't mind me telling it, but my friend Steve Kahn was still up on Hudson River up at Sleepy Hollow at the time, and Rob down in Florida, who did all his graphic design, motion graphics work and everything, just fine, you know, exactly as you've been talking about it, FTPing. And so one day Steve's with a client and they're discussing a graphic and started to get on the phone to Rob to start to talking about it. And the client kept saying, well, why don't we just go down this hole to see Rob?
Oh.
And eventually Steve had to admit that Rob was, in fact, in Florida.
Oops.
Yeah. But it didn't affect the quality of the work. It didn't affect the quality of the work relationship. These people knew each other ahead of time. So it's already happening.
Oh,
the fact that this happens into places where the wage structures are different and the disparity can be leveraged.
Right.
You know, we leveraged the disparity between Australian dollar and US dollar when we first moved here. You know, we were employing people, paying decent regional Australian salaries, but funding it in US dollars when the Australian dollar was worth about 60 cents US.
Wow.
So we were getting about $1.50 for every $1.50 value in Australia for every dollar we earned. So, you know, even on that simple level, leveraging the differential in the dollar value plus regional versus having to pay somebody to live in LA made it very practical. And we had, you know, we worked for 2 years that way before we effectively closed up the Australian office because the whole need changed. Technology moved, the business model changed.
Right.
But we would do that with a database that was, you know, IP-based, so everyone could log into that and control the workflow. There's the script now, and where's the movie at? Where is it at? Where is it needing review? And I could just look and see what needs review, make comments, send it back to the person making the movie, because these were animated sprite movies. These are not video movies. And that's what changed. The video codecs became so much more compelling that sprites were not needed anymore.
Right, right.
So screen captures became compelling.
Changing business model.
It's changing business model. And so we, you know, people moved on, we didn't replace them. And eventually just lost that whole business model. But certainly it's already happening. I don't think anybody can comfort themselves and say, oh, no, this is way off in the future. It's already happening.
It's here.
It's already here. It's already happening between people within country, within city.
Mm-hmm.
But there's no reason why it won't happen across cultures where people will do the motion graphic design. You don't need cultural sensitivity.
Exactly.
To do motion graphic design.
Well, and again, the wedding video, et cetera, these are things that, you don't, because there's a
fantasy,
template.
I have a fantasy of being able to automate a wedding video.
Yeah, you should be able to.
And we need some things like image recognition to get details, but you should be able to theory, like it's like turn a metaphoric dial that says, here's the favor the bride's family cut, and here's the favor the groom's family cut.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, so once you have sufficient metadata, and right now the metadata is the gathering the metadata is the thing that makes automation hard.
Right.
But we're getting more and more, and as I've talked about over the years, and I look and see where I want to be with our company in 10 years, well, every technology that I want to use exists.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't exist in tools in our industry, but you know, we have speech recognition, autonomy in the Adobe world, they license that. The Nexidia stuff is not speech recognition. It's very valuable. Soundbite now? And Nexidia, on the other hand, is not quite the same. It powers Phrase Find and Script Sync and Soundbite from Boris and Get before that. It finds the words. It doesn't actually have any meaning. But Nuance, Google, and Autonomy attempt to make derive the meaning and the proper words from it, from the speech.
Which is amazing feat in and of itself when you think about it.
Nuance, which powers Siri, is doing very, very well. And as I said last show, I'm starting to experiment with using that to start writing some stuff instead of thinking it down on paper. I can think it out loud and then go back and edit it. Because
more efficient.
Yeah, to me, the first problem is having something on the page to edit.
Right.
Because the polish happens in the edit, not in the first string out.
Right.
just like editing pictures, really, and making stories. So we need to be able to get the text. We need to be able to get some general idea of what's in the picture. We need to be able to derive keywords or some sort of meaning from the text that we get. We need to be able to break it up. But when you change voices, you can use a lot of logic to work out how that happens.
But in the meantime...
Right now.
So you can outsource that to cheap labor in another country to get to the same place. Since the technology's not there, you can substitute it with outsourced. Another example is the website that kind of started popping around on the list a couple weeks ago, where there's a crowdsourcing website where major companies can come on there and go, we want a commercial for, I don't care what, Hostess Twinkies, right?
Yeah.
And we'll pay $7,500 for it. All of a sudden, you have people all over the world making commercials for Hostess Twinkies and posting them up there, and the one they select gets $7,500. Now, from the standpoint of Hostess, they're making a killing, It's like, well, we can spend, $100 million on a commercial campaign, hire an agency who will sit there and come up with some ideas for us and try to pick which one, or for free, we can have as many samples as we want from all the creative people around the planet, and then we only have to pay $7,500 to whichever one we pick, Or maybe there's two or three really good ones, okay, we'll pay them each $7,500. Ooh.
Yeah. Well, it's only an extension of the competition, the Doritos competition for a Super Bowl ad.
Right. But now it's a website.
Now it's a website. Somebody created a business model out of it.
Right. And it's a great idea from, the business model standpoint. It's not great for people who are used to making a ton of money doing commercials.
Yes.
Now they have competition that's, bottom dollar type competition. So this is not the automation part. This is sort of more, I guess, the outsourcing sense, because now instead of having a few agencies that you can go to do those commercials, you can outsource to everybody on the planet and pick the best from it.
And people were doing spec commercials for practice anyway.
Yeah, but you couldn't really sell them.
Now we've just formalized the process of doing spec commercials. commercials, and you may get a jackpot.
Yeah, exactly. You actually, now you have at least a direct line to the end company.
Yes.
You know, before you did a spec commercial, you just pick something, you know, I'll do it on Coke. And then, you know, maybe you could get it sent to somebody at Coke who might
more
see
likely
it,
you
might,
put it,
but...
More likely you put it on YouTube and Coke said, take it down.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So now it's the other way around. You actually have, you know, a potential target and to sell to. So,
yeah. Yeah, it makes it, certainly to my mind, brings up the idea of, why aren't we, for example, facilitating metadata entry offshore?
Yeah.
You know, at the moment, the biggest problem for our products is metadata entry. So why don't we find a way of setting that up so that the metadata entry happens in a... In a low-wage environment, not a U.S. wage environment.
And because they're just making notes, they're not actually working on the material, you can go really low bandwidth, you know?
Yeah.
You can have heavily compressed material.
Something to see it, yeah.
Yeah. I agree. That's why I think the first, real heavy-duty outsourcing of our industry is going to be the assistant editor's position. You know, because you get all the footage in, you send off your proxies to, you know, wherever, India, whatever, and the next day you get back completely organized bins with all the metadata in them, everything broken out the way you want, all the clips synced, et cetera, and you paid, you know, $20 for it instead of, you know, an assistant over here.
Yep.
Am I happy to be saying this? No. Please don't shoot me. I am the messenger. This is
and
not what I want.
If it's narrative, assemble a script.
Well, yeah, exactly.
In fact, we have a project that's not terribly developed, but it's a product that we will do, and that is in the Adobe world. You know, at the moment, you can start writing in Adobe Story.
Mm-hmm.
You can bring that into Premiere Pro. We'll then use the script to guide the autonomy engine.
Okay.
And that works brilliantly. When you give it a script to guide, a transcript or a script, mm-hmm. it does work really, really well and keeps the original formatting. More iffy if you haven't got a guide script.
Uh-huh.
But then all of the information, all of the script is there embedded in the clips.
Right.
So why isn't a first string out being done automatically?
That's a good question.
Because what's an assistant or an editor going to do first? They're going to string the clips out with, you know, making multi-clips out of multiple takes or something similar.
Sync all the audio.
Sync all the audio and then just string it out as per script and then start to do the magic. You know, there is no creativity up to that point.
No, I agree.
You know,
it's very manual process, and that's why I'm saying that will be automated.
Yeah.
And, you know, in the meantime, I don't see why it can't be outsourced.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's really... Back to our original topic.
The main media is still local. That's the proxies go out to organize your bins. And
right. And, one of the things again, security is an issue, so you're not going to get, you know, major studios doing that.
No, but major studios have established work. They will be the last to change.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, it'll be cable shows. It'll be shows like, well, the one I'm involved with next year, which is starting to firm up enough that I can start to talk about it, and that is this Solar Odyssey Challenge, going around the Great Loop on a solar-powered trimaran, making a show, shooting a show about the journey, about the environment, the people, but editing it on the boat as we go.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's no way that two multitasking editors and, you know, even shooters kind of would be able to do that under normal circumstances.
Right. You're going to rely heavily on your automation.
Yeah. And we, you know, Greg is coming along, not, you know, his work continues wherever he's got a laptop and bandwidth. So if I need something, and I already know, you know, there's going to be a tool I need for audio.
Right.
That will get written. You know, the audio is a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
How do you have audio from all day, effectively, you know, from about 7 in the morning till 2 in the afternoon will be our trip time and therefore our shooting time. And so I want all people on board recorded all the time. Because if I've got good audio, I can cover that with B-roll until I get a camera on it.
Right.
You know, if we've got a fight brewing, well, the fight can be brewing and we've been looking at some peaceful manatees or something.
Right.
Or jumping out of the way. I don't know. You can always cover audio with some B-roll. It's
right.
Like, you know, sorry, folks, but it's easy. I don't know what my pictures are going to be. I don't know what audio goes with what pictures until I start to do some selects and the like.
Right.
Well, what I want to do is, right now I've got my selects, I want all of the relevant audio and only those pieces pulled out of my full-time recording. And how do I do that simply, easily, and not requiring an assistant to take about 2 hours or 3 hours?
That's going to be tough. It's going to be tough. I mean, you know, it's part of the thing in the reality shows is having somebody there when they're shooting that is just, you know, the producer who's, you know, can then say to the editor, look, at about 3:25 in this room, something really cool happened. You know, that'll make a good scene. So at least, you know, you have a fighting chance when you're on a tight schedule of going straight to the area instead of trying to listen to everything. But if you just think about the streams of audio that you're going to have times and trying to listen to it,
I know. I absolutely cannot listen to it. I mean, it has to be all based on time of day. Pull out, you know, whatever the video is, pull me 30 seconds of audio either side of that, unless there's something specific in the audio that we want to note that doesn't have a video. So there'd be two processes. One is grab me audio to this specific requirements, but grab me all the audio that goes with these selects.
Okay. You still don't know there's no way to automate that part at this point to say, hey, something interesting happened here in the audio at 10 a.m.
No.
You know, and that's still a problem.
If there's no shooting going on at that point and there's interesting audio, that would be, we'd have to manually enter that through an entry form is to grab this audio as well as the selects. But, you know, grabbing all of the 5 microphones or 6 microphone channels that go with that, bringing those in roughly trimmed and then using, you know, in Final Cut Pro 10, which is what we're going to be using, we'll use their audio analysis to bring them together. They use time of day to bring them close together, and then they use the audio analysis for precise alignment. So that should work fairly well, as long as you can get just the segments of audio. Otherwise, trying to sync up 6 hours of audio with, 30-second video takes is, like, stupid.
Yeah, you've got a big chunk ahead of you there.
Oh, running everything off 12 volts, and, if anyone's interested, the website is thesolarodyssey.com.
Thesolarodyssey.com, yeah. Okay.
Yes, Terry translated into American for all you.
Yes.
All you all. So for me, the automation isn't really taking out of a lot of the creativity. Yes, if you're working on a project where you feel you want to see every frame of everything, then you're in your own world.
Right.
And I'm, you know, right. Great. Nice. I think I love that you care that much. I love that you want to do the absolute best job.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, maybe 10%. Let's be optimistic and say that's 10 or 15% of what gets made. Well, and the bottom 15% are never going to be a customer anyway. But there's a lot of ground in their middle there that where productions can benefit from automation but not take away from the creativity.
Right.
I certainly see a future in documentary or there where the first time you see it is as a series of very rough, strung-out stories that you then start to refine based on the topics.
The problem I have with that is that a lot of a true documentary, I'm not talking about a preconceived documentary, but a lot of a true documentary is you look at all this stuff and then you start to put together in your mind what the story is you want to tell from it, and that's different.
That's where First Cut really helps, you know, because you can just go in and start saying, well...
But then it's giving you a suggestion it's pulling it together, which is not the same as, you know, that watching it and trying to piece together your own idea of what it is. Because, to be honest,
but you're not
you could take 10 editors and show them the same footage, and you will end up with 10 completely different stories.
Yeah, and even if you take the first assemble and then give it to 10 different editors, they'll still end up with 10 different cuts from it.
Yeah. But my point is that you don't, you know, by giving them that first cut already, given them a conception.
But it's not just one first cut, though. You could look at 20 different variations. This is more a producer's tool than an editor's tool.
Mm-hmm.
And then the producer can start to say, well, I like this, I like that, and maybe then start to put together something that they then pass off to a skilled editor to polish the turd. And, you know, a lot of editing is polishing turds.
I think because what we're approaching this differently here is because you're calling that the producer's job, and I think in terms of we're talking about the same thing. You're talking about the guy who's making the decision on what it's about. You're calling him the producer. I'm calling him the editor.
Okay.
It's just whoever that person is. I mean, I think of it in terms of editors because, you know, if it was me doing it, it would be my project.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, not editing for somebody else. Because if you're editing for somebody else and they're telling you, this is the story I want you to tell, well, then obviously, yes. Yeah. That first cut would be fine. But if you've just got a bunch of stuff and you want to sit down with it and you go, what am I going to make out of this?
Yeah.
Then you kind of have to really see it all to decide, what is it you want to tell? You know, what point of view do you want to take? Is there something, you know, you could be watching all this footage on dolphins and decide out of that, you know, this would make a great prisoner of war documentary. I don't know. You know what I mean? Because you know what I'm saying. It's like you don't know where you're going to go is my point. From that standpoint,
absolutely,
that part can't be automated.
And nor can it be outsourced.
No, you're right. But certainly syncing all the dailies and stuff could be.
You can do that in software.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, if you've got time code, then our sync and link. If you've not got time code, then Bruce Sharp's Pluralize or Dualize will do that for you.
Right.
I'm kind of surprised that there's nothing in the New Media Composer, but perhaps they had a little to do in there about automatically synchronizing stuff.
With the you mean auto sync?
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, it does it on timecode, but not on audio.
Right. Well, the script sync side does.
Yeah, if you've got narrative, if you've got a script,
syncs it to the script.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. But I guess maybe because there's third parties that do that at this point. It's weird. Now we're going off on a different subject, but we're...
Well, I don't think we've got a lot more to say about outsourcing versus automation. Neither is particularly appealing to people who really care about the quality of their project.
Right.
Both are incredibly appealing to people who care about their budget.
Yes, exactly.
And having something to put between the commercials on a broadcast channel. And sadly, I think the reality is there are more people who are the latter than there are the former that care about the quality.
I would say definitely, with a caveat there, that I think it's not necessarily in a lot of cases that the people don't care. It's that the budget keeps them from being there too.
Same thing.
If the budget
prevents you from caring, then you are in a position where you don't care whether you would want to care or not.
Yes, that's,
I agree
that a lot of people can relate to in our business.
A lot of people, yes. And I guess what I want to do is I want to take the parts that can be automated, automate them, mm-hmm. take the boring parts out,
right?
So that there is more time for the people who are really able to tell a story visually,
right,
to do that from the material. Okay, you may be missing something that you would see that would elevate it up another 50 degrees or points,
right.
But
you do realize now you're talking about eliminating the middle class of this industry or whatever.
Well, I'm still wanting the editor, skilled editor, to being the one that's highly paid.
Oh, I understand. I'm not arguing with you. I'm just saying it's what happened in the auto industry and manufacturing, et cetera, which is why we don't have a middle class in the United States now, or a dwindling middle class.
A dwindling middle class, yes.
It is just the reality of technological developments, you know.
But if you do care about quality, then you should head over to Alpha Dogs and finish with class.
Or if you're working with Final Cut Pro 7 or Final Cut Pro 10 or even After Effects and you're finding shortcomings in the in various areas of interoperability, etc., Philip can help you out with.
I've made a good business out of providing Media Composer features for Final Cut Pro 7 users.
And still doing,
yeah.
Yes,
so
with Final Cut 10,
Final Cut Pro 10, yes. Event Manager 10, Project 10 to 7, Sync and Link. We've got a whole range of tools that will help you take some of the boring out of post and make you more productive. So you can focus on what's important, which is your creative skills.
And I would also strongly suggest reading your book.
Then you know.
If you want to, since you want to stay in business and, you know, seeing where the future's going, and if you are an independent contractor or whatever and you want to do a better job, then I would strongly recommend reading Philip's. But where do they find that?
The New Now would be over at my blog at philiphodgetts.com.
Okay.
We moved all the books over to there. There's that one, the HD Survival Handbook, and Conquering the Metadata Foundations of Final Cut Pro 10, my little book I wrote back in the week in June, which was for June, July, August, and most of September, the best-selling Final Cut Pro 10 book at Amazon.
Wow, congrats. Well, that should have made you some money.
Well, it was the only one.
Oh.
Because
that's cheating.
Independent publishers can get there much faster than the Peach Pits and Focal Press of the world. So
Larry Jordan didn't have something up there already?
No, Larry.
He went with who?
With Focal, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. The books started to come out September, October, and I think all of the planned books are out by now. So, yeah, it's... It's an interesting point about aggregation, though, because we're now selling more print copies through Amazon than I am PDF downloads at a third the price off my website. And I put that down to the value of the aggregator.
Okay. But they can sell. They can buy the downloads off the Amazon also,
no,
right?
No,
oh,
no,
okay.
They,
that's how you do it. Okay.
Yeah, the downloads are from my site. The books are from Amazon.
So that doesn't give us a true comparison about whether people prefer print over
No, but it does. PDF. It does seem to me to indicate that people find it more readily on Amazon.
Yes.
Because if you search your Final Cut Pro 10 on Amazon, well, it's going to be one of the few books that comes up, right? As opposed to searching for Final Cut Pro 10 on the web, well, my website may come up on the second page or maybe even the first page, but you're not going to find a direct reference to the book. So that is The New Now, and it's at philiphodgetts.com. If you're looking for taking the boring out of post, head on over to assistedediting.com.
Thanks for listening.
And do something creative.